Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and co-parents of all ages, this podcast is for you. Introducing in the center ring, the amicable divorce expert, Judith Weigel.
Back again for round two, we have Judy Graybill. This is her second interview with us because she's so enormously valuable in the step family, blended family arena. So Judy Graybill is out of Arizona. She's a certified step family coach, a relationship healer, and her company is Sensible Steps. Because this is December, and December has its challenges in regards to holidays and who gets the kids, the co-parenting schedule, I definitely wanted to devote this month as much as possible to exploring from different professionals best ways to approach the co-parenting schedule for the holidays, the blended family approach to the holidays. And preceding Judy, last week, I interviewed a woman named Molly Wilder, who is a divorce coach, not a stepfamily coach. She's a divorce coach, but her story, and I hope you listen to it. If you haven't, please do, because it sets up this interview perfectly. So Molly was divorced, 7 children, homeschooler, gets divorced very amicably. Former husband remarries first. Molly has a significant other, and they have, and Judy, this is where our takeoff is with you. They handled their situation so rock star like in the step family world that not only do they spend the holidays together in one place, all the kids, all the parents. But they do one more thing. They had the Christmas card with everybody. Nice. Now, you don't get any more Norman Rockwell than that. So that was what we did last week.
I'm definitely looking forward to listening to that one, too. I mean, we definitely want good role models for what to do. So we need those. That's great.
So that she was unusual. But Judy, you're going to bring something seriously valuable to the table here, because we're really going to focus on A, the stress involved in dealing with the holidays and the co-parenting schedule, options in doing so, if you can, and then you're going to end up with some tips for people to use to get to the most amicable place possible. But let's start with the stress. Judy, just address the general stress that people go through, regardless of whether they have the settlement agreement with the holiday schedule or not. Talk about the stress.
Yes, there's so much here because, the stress, holidays are stressful anyways. Anytime you add more stuff to your day, you're going to add more stress because it's more of a go, go, go type of atmosphere. And even though some of the stuff is positive, more parties, holiday parties, more gifts, people enjoy those parties, people enjoy shopping. Those are all positive things. However, it is also this go, 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 go type of feeling. And people are, they get short-tempered and they have shorter fuses. So, even good stuff is stressful. But then you add in the blended family mix. So there's all kinds of high expectations and desires to make the step family work. Because throughout the year, those challenges are coming up, right? So the holidays, with all the things that are going on, there's more pressure. And if there's more pressure to get it right, if we've screwed it up for the summer vacation, how are we going to do it for the Christmas vacation there's a lot more going on because everybody wants the kids for certain days, And everybody is sharing what those certain days are, which is a little bit different than like the summer vacations or the spring vacations. Each school is a little bit different. There's a little bit more flexibility. There's less flexibility with regard to those dates during the holiday season, which regardless whether you're it's Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or Christmas, whatever it is. And then you have those family traditions. So everybody, right?
Right. I didn't think about that. But we always have dinner at noon. Well, so do we have dinner at one. What are we going to do?
Right. So, and any time, and like the blended family thing with regard to family traditions, now you have multiple families trying to do multiple traditions. And my family normally does this. His family normally does that. The kids are like, you know, it, and also depends on the kids' age, whether they're receptive to anything. So, you know, you want to keep a little bit of each tradition, but you also want to create your own traditions. You have to really start thinking of yourself as a new identity. So like when I work with clients, for example, you know, they share the last name of the husband, but like when I'm working with them, I always hyphenate it. You're not the Joneses anymore. You're the Smith Jones, or you're the Jones Smith. And I emphasize that like when we're working together, like one of the things I do is create a family mission statement. And I emphasize that just throughout, just so, because I want them to both keep their own identity, but at the same time, they need to see themselves as a new identity. So they want to introduce new traditions. And so anyways, all of this is what creates the stress. And then the perfection, and I could go on and on, but I hope that gives like a little bit of a context for what we're going to be talking about.
No, it absolutely does. And we had a woman, Julie Turner, and you responded to this. So two, 3 months ago, whenever, I interviewed Julie Turner, and she said, "You are going to be a different person." Yes. After the divorce than you were during the divorce. You need to embrace it and not hold on to the old person that you were. This is a life circumstance that will change you, like any big life circumstance. So too, this is very interesting that you said that not only are the old traditions, the routine traditions that each family grew up with, some people celebrate, if we're going to talk about Christmas, some people celebrate the big Christmas on Christmas Eve, and they just hang out on Christmas Day. Other families, Christmas Day is the big deal, and they just have a dinner maybe the night before. Okay, that's cool. If you're not going to do a blended family thing and get together, nice. If you have two families whose emphasis is on different days, that makes it kind of easy. But then I like what you said, Judy, about but create new traditions, because isn't it sad when people try and recreate the old tradition with a new group of people or a slightly changed group of people?
It doesn't feel the same. And that's the other thing that what I'll be talking about within everything that we talk about to say that we talk about today. It has to be in the context of how it feels. So, right. So like the kids, for example, a part of them still want to do those old traditions, but it doesn't feel the same with stepmom than it did with both mom and dad together. So that's why a lot of times they are receptive to trying something new. Because if you're trying,
right?
Yes, the kids are. Okay. Yes. And again, this also depends on how, the relationship they have with the step parent. It also depends on their age and a few different things like that. But in general, it feels different to them. So they're going to be a little bit more receptive to doing something new. But what's important for parents and step parents alike to understand is that the kids get their cues from the parents. So if the parents are trying to force those traditions, and that's the thing, does it feel forced? Are you trying to force a square peg into a round hole, for example? The kids are going to feel that, and it's not going to be as enjoyable for the kids. So you don't want to, so you still, you want to kind of feel it out. So it's okay to do some of those old ones, but definitely try something new, or to do it in a new flavor, do it in a new way. But definitely you want to have discussion. You want to have like maybe family discussions. You want to discuss it with your partner. You kind of want to feel it out with the kids in certain ways, you know, and get a feel for what they want to do.
Well, that's,
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. I'm glad you brought it up, because I was thinking, well, is it okay to ask the kids what they would like now that the kids have two different homes? And they're conversant with each home because they're there. Maybe they have ideas what will work, especially if all the biological parents and the step parents actually talk.
Right.
Starts with, can we all talk to one another, right?
Yes.
Then the kids can maybe be a viable part of recreating or creating a new paradigm in how the holidays are enjoyed.
I think that's ideal. And I think that's definitely something that both parents and step-parents alike should strive for. And one of the things that happens that might get in the way of that, which I think is important to mention it loud so that parents and both step-parents alike could be wary of it, is that if parents are feeling the loss still of that first relationship. And this goes back to what we were saying a few minutes ago about what Julie Turner was saying, the emotional divorce. You want to get that closure. You want to do your own emotional work so that you can create your own, your new identity. If you haven't done that, then you're going to quote unquote feel the loss of that relationship, and you're going to parent out of guilt. And you're going to want to, that's when the pressure to make the holidays perfect come into play, so you can make it up to the kids. If you're trying to quote unquote make something up to the kids, you're putting more pressure onto yourself, undue pressure onto yourself. And that is what creates the, some of the stress and the short fuses and that kind of thing, which leads to arguments and so forth. So that's why you want to ask your kids, but you want to definitely have an open space. You want to have that open table, the open door policy, you know, to talk with your kids. And step parents, they come at it from a slightly different reason for wanting to make things perfect. Their reason is because they want to bond with the kids. If the holiday itself and all the details are perfect, then I'm going to have a better relationship with my kids, with the stepkids. And that might be true, but not necessarily, because there's a lot of other things that go into play. If you're spending so much time and energy on those details and making everything quote unquote perfect and trying to make it up to the kids, and you're putting all this pressure on yourself and this, and it has to be this, it has to be that, you're not going to be quote unquote present for your kids. And what your kids want most is the you as a gift. You as the parent is the gift. And for step parents, you have to recognize that too. It's not, you are creating your own unique relationship with the kids, but you still have to be aware that primarily they need to have that relationship with their parent, both parents. So it's a tougher thing for step parents, and they can still bond with their kids by having that open door policy. They can bond with their kids through creating those new traditions, but it's also through that presence.
Okay, so I'm going to extend that thought a little bit, and that is parents, two people get divorced, they have children. Each parent remarries, and they remarry somebody with children. Now you've got three family traditions. You have new wife, new husband, and old wife and husband who have remarried. So you've got three sets of traditions to try and work out. This is not an unusual situation, right?
Right. Yeah.
All the more reason for how about we all create something new?
Yes. And I think what I've come across with those kinds of situations is typically when you have that much change, they're getting so used to it, they're kind of getting more used to those adjustments and changes and creating something new. They're a little bit more open to something new. Unless, of course, you have one person in the dynamic, like one step parent or significant other that has like maybe a chip on their shoulder and has some insecurities. It's stuff like that that might make it go sideways.
Yeah. Okay. I know we all have our different personalities and our different things. So you also, when we were talking, you started bringing up something that I think is really important. And that is if you're not able to have the blended family all together in one room, and you have to divide the holiday. You were talking about, you know, think about not only how the parent who doesn't have the children that day or that half a day, the loneliness, maybe some options and what they could be doing to cover that up, you know, put something in place of the loneliness. And then, yeah, by not having the child. So let's just talk about that situation where, oh my gosh, I'm not going to have the kids this day. I've never not had the kids on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day or whatever, you know, main day of Hanukkah. Suggestions for what they can do.
Right. So I think that it's probably a good idea to have a plan A and a plan B if you don't know. So like, for example, maybe there is a tree lighting ceremony that you absolutely positively want to take all of the family to. Or maybe it's like some other extended family that's coming in that, you know, the stepkids are want to meet and you want to meet because so you could do a family thing. And those are on particular days. Oh, but those are not my days. I can't do those anymore. So maybe you can do a recreation of that during your time. So like if it was a public tree decorating ceremony, maybe you can do something about that at home during your time. And then when it comes to the extended family that's not there, you know, we do have technology that allows us to do FaceTime and video calls and that kind of thing. And I think, you know, we just really have to be flexible with those things, but definitely think in terms of how can I recreate whatever that is during my time or have a plan A and a plan B.
Or when you don't have the kids and it's one of those significant days, plan ahead for something else to take its place.
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that because I was going to suggest, so like one of my clients actually did that. So, but this is with a vacation earlier in like, I think it was either spring break or summer. I can't remember, but his parenting agreement had to go back to court in order for the split to be decided by the court because he had such a terrible co-parenting relationship with his ex that they couldn't, it was just that kind of angry, fiery type of relationship. They couldn't make any decisions jointly negotiate. Mm-hmm. So the decision with the court was like right underneath the wire of when he had to make the vacation plans. So he created a plan A and a plan B. If I have my son, we do this family vacation. If I don't have my son, I do this staycation getaway with my wife.
Okay, nice.
So
creating options as opposed to being a victim and stewing in our own sadness.
Right. Right.
Because that's so, you can do that so easily. I give this example and it will tell you what my shallow side is like. So in my shallow side, I watch these Bravo reality shows. The Housewives of Orange County is the flagship, and Orange County is one county south of me in Los Angeles County. And Tamra Judge, a few years ago, was dealing with a very difficult co-parenting schedule after divorcing Simon Barney. Notice they're like my friends. I know their names. First and last names. But it's so ridiculous how this hit home. For me, one of her cutaways, she was saying, this wasn't even a holiday, but on one of her cutaways in this particular episode, she said, well, you know, nobody's really ready for the aftermath of divorce. You have to kind of wait and experience it. But she said she planned as best she could, but what she didn't count on, because you really don't know what it's like until it's there, she said the silence in the house was deafening when she didn't have her kids.
Yeah, I've heard that from other parents too. That's a tough adjustment for parents.
Yeah. So don't let it be that way. Or use silence as golden. Stay in your pajamas all day. Watch TV. Don't we have a parade? We have a dog show. We have football, which I love.
Right.
And we have whatever food you want to eat. You can eat in bed.
Yes. Ice cream would be my choice.
Yes. Oh my God. A buffet of. All right. So now let's talk about these co-parenting schedules. When you get divorced, if you don't go to trial, you'll have a settlement agreement written for you by either, you know, whoever's filing for you, you'll have a settlement agreement written. And in the settlement agreement, you can either be very detailed with the normal weekly schedule, and then you have a separate section for the holiday schedule and a separate section for the summer schedule, summer vacation schedule. In the holiday schedule, quite often, you'll name the different holidays, and they really will have a different significance for each parent, depending on how each parent grew up. Easter may not be a big deal for one family, but a big deal for another. And so you look at all those, and Jewish holidays, there's so many of them, depends on how conservative or, you know, reformed versus conservative versus orthodox you are, you know, that will pose a challenge in terms of how those holidays are dealt with. But when I write these agreements, some people want them extremely detailed. Other people want them just general. We'll figure it out on our own. You now inherit these people after the divorce is final and they become step parents. What if they had a very detailed schedule that kind of wasn't working once you've inherited them? How do you guide going forward versus the Wild West? There's really no detail. We'll figure it out when it gets here. Go ahead.
So what I can speak to about that is the potential for arguments there. Because so like what I work very specifically with my clients on is their relationship with each other and their relationship to the kids. And to a lesser degree, their relationship with the ex, but it really starts with the two of them in the household first. Most of the time, unless the primary reason for argument is with the ex, then that becomes front and center. But basically, so what I can speak to with regard to this is what causes the most arguments. So it's, and in my experience with working with clients, what I found is that it is less about the details they work out, and it is more about how well they co-parent with the ex. Because if it, and honestly, if you listen to your podcast or me talk at any length or how many different times, we're always going to come back to your own inner work and being more amicable with the ex. It always comes back to that. And honestly, even though these agreements are written up and it's written by impartial people to an extent, you know, and it's all legal, it still, even after that, comes down to how well do you get along with your ex. Because if you don't get along with your ex, that person is going to misinterpret those details to the nth degree and try to twist it to make it sound like that's exactly what they want, which was the case with the recent client that I was telling you about that they had to go back to court for. Because even though it was written out, it came down to interpretation, and how they interpret it is how they want to interpret it to benefit themselves, or if they're being really, you know, manipulative or angry, then they want to hurt the other person. Even if it's not benefiting themselves, they want to interpret it and argue to get their own way just to hurt the partner. So you really want to try to, you can have as detailed of an agreement as you want, but it still comes down to trying to get along with the other parent. Now, because you can also have a really, really, really open or verbal agreement. So sometimes if you're new in the divorce process, you're not going to have that agreement yet in the separation. Or some people just choose not to because they just don't like the legal system. They don't trust the legal system. That was the case with my ex. And so we're just always going to do a verbal agreements. Those also have the potential for arguments, because if one person is meek-mannered, they're not as assertive, the person who is less assertive is going to typically get walked on. They're not going to get their way. They're going to get frustrated. And, or they're the type of person who always makes do and they're okay with it, but then they get into a relationship with somebody else and now that person is not okay with it. Because like, no, I'm not okay with my partner being walked on. I want to be involved more. I'm tired of us always having the kids, or I'm tired of us never getting the kids. Like whatever it is, because one person, and this is if you don't have a legal agreement at all, and it's strictly verbal, you can actually still walk into all of those arguments if you do not have a professional co-parenting relationship with your ex that has healthy boundaries. Healthy boundaries, regardless of whether it's verbal or it's legal, you still have to have healthy boundaries. And it always comes back to that. And I think that's important for your listeners to really understand, because sometimes they put too much emphasis on having it all written out so they don't have to deal with the ex. You still have to deal with the ex.
You're so right. You still have to deal with the ex. And as you were talking, I was thinking of these agreements that I've written. And some people want it very detailed. They say, we need it. We just need it. We need every I dotted and T crossed, because so it will be less disruptive, fewer decisions to make. So all that's fine. And you do that in the immediacy of the moment of getting this agreement written. But then life takes over. So the divorce is final. Now we're coming up on different holidays, different events. And somehow in real time, what we wrote in the agreement kind of needs to be modified. And so then I'll get the calls, is that okay? And it's perfectly okay. And what I try and say to people as we're writing this agreement, everybody does the best they can. And this might work for a while, but as the kids get older, as you bring in new people in your lives, this just may be outdated and you may have to come up with something new that suits you in your present time circumstances and for all the other people in your life. So yeah. Get ready for that. And then for the listeners to know, because this now gets on the legal side a little bit, there are two ways to change a settlement agreement once the divorce is final. You can either do it verbally if you get along, and the court couldn't care less what you change. As long as you get along and they don't hear from you, they're happy. Or if you are the type of people that always want something documented and you're agreeing on a change, there's a mini version of a little agreement that I write that I send to the court, and both co-parents sign off on it, and it changes and modifies whatever the stipulations were for the co-parenting schedule that were in the main agreement. It modifies it, and then it stays in the record. It stays in the court record as a modification. So I just want everybody to know that it's always going to change. If you have small children, it's always going to change until they're no longer minors. Just get ready for it. So to your point, it's the communication that you have to always work on. Now that I've said, get ready, there's always going to be changes.
And actually, that's a really good segue into another example that I have, which I'll give a shout out to my friend Jason for this story, because he was sharing, and of course, you know, I'm going to align with people who actually have good experiences in their stepfamily. So he has a written agreement with his ex, but he hasn't even looked at it for so many years. Like, he can't even remember what it is because he has such a good co-parenting relationship with his ex. So now they just verbally work through all that depending on what their schedules are. And he has a steady schedule, but hers is varied. So it's up in the air and it changes every year, and it could change by week. So they just work it out verbally. And I think, honestly, that's probably the best way to go. And if a couple or an ex-couple can get to that point of cooperative colleagues, that's the official co-parenting style term, cooperative colleagues, where it's moderate communication and moderate interaction and but good communication, then they're going to be able to work through those details regardless. And the other thing I want to say that he said is very important, and the reason why he himself worked on his co-parenting relationship with his ex is because, simply put, he sleeps better at night. And this is exactly the reason why we're doing this episode for the holidays. He's like, I sleep better. I'm a happy person, happier. I'm less stressed. I'm less angry. I'm happier. That's exactly why we want them to have a better co-parenting relationship. And can we talk to, I'm sorry, I just thought about this. That goes back to the kids' experience too. Because what they want when they're trying to plan all those details, the reason they want all those details is they want it to be good for the kids. And they keep thinking, if I work through all these details, I work through all this and I make it perfect, it's going to be perfect for the kids. But what the kids want most is stability. What the kids want most is for everyone to get along. Kids feel like their identity is wrapped up with their parents. Like, I am half my mom, I'm half my dad. This is how kids process it. If my dad is upset at mom, then I'm going to, as a kid, going to feel that. Maybe he's upset with me too. And sometimes they don't know. Like, you know, they feel that. And so if parents and step-parents alike want their kids to enjoy the holidays the most, the biggest, best gift they can give their kids is presents. Be resilient. Be flexible. Flexibility is very important. Be resilient. Be optimistic, so that no matter what happens, figure out a way. You have to sometimes be creative in how you're going to turn it around and present it to the kids as still a positive thing. How you present it to the kids matters. And so, yes, ideally, we love the, you know, Molly Wilder story of having them all together. That is definitely ideal. And that's what kids want, is to see their parents together and happy. But if you can't have that, you can still give your kids that experience by giving them the gift of presence. By just being, if you can be happy in your own skin and then be present in that happiness with your children in the moment, creating new memories, new positive memories, your kids are still going to enjoy that holiday regardless of what those details look like, regardless of how many times it changed. You're more stressed about all those changes than your kids are. Trust me, the kids are not as stressed as you parents are.
You know, that's funny. There's an example that I was thinking of just now, and before you were saying something about, you know, don't focus on perfection, because it's very hard to achieve. And it just reminded me of this one story where there was a family and mom wanted it to be so perfect. And it comes up to dinner time and the turkey was laying out on the counter cooling before it was to be carved, and the dog pulled it off the counter.
Oh my God.
Started eating it. And it's like, okay, talk about being flexible. Now,
right?
I have to do a little of that, because who knows what the dog licked. So the dog had a great Christmas.
Right?
Yeah.
So you know what's funny about that is that's the Christmas that everyone's going to be talking about for decades.
Yes.
So that's the new memory. And see, sometimes it's the screw-ups that make the biggest memories. You know, and so, and honestly, I love that story for that reason, because that is one way that step parents can bond with their kids. It is creating new memories. It's not just necessarily in the mistakes, but maybe asking your kids what their old memories were, you know, your stepkids, because what you want is to create your own unique relationship with your stepkids. And asking them, like, what was your favorite Christmas? What was your least favorite? Why was it? Or, you know, let your stepkids share those old memories. And some step parents are going to feel very uncomfortable hearing those old stories because they weren't a part of those.
Oh, right, right. Or the actual biological parents may feel a little uncomfortable recreating those from a different time, but they're your kids' memories. I mean, what are you going to do? That they own those.
Right. And the step parent always feels left out because they're not part of those memories. So, like, sometimes in those big family gatherings that you mentioned, even if they're doing that, the first couple might be uncomfortable for most people. That happens. The kids are sharing those memories and it's a shared memory with their mom and their dad. The step parent feels left out. Yeah. And if the step parent can get over that though, and laugh with the kids, laugh with the family, and then, you know, that's, if you can do that as a step parent with your stepkids and talk about that and engage in conversations like that with your stepkids at other times, you're going to create your own relationship with your stepkids. And that is eventually how they start listening to you. That's how you create your rapport. And take pictures.
Oh, what a great idea.
Yes, they need to take pictures as a new family hanging up in the hallway. So again, you can remember those on those bad days.
Right. Okay. So a couple things I was thinking about while you were talking. And one of them is, if this is your first holiday, it could even be Thanksgiving. It doesn't matter what the holiday is. I know we've said Christmas because we're in December or Hanukkah, but any holiday, it's your first big holiday as a step parent with your new spouse and your stepchildren. How does the step parent gently integrate themselves into the plans?
Right. So they really have to work with the biological, their partner, their husband, as or wife, depending on which gender, as much as possible. But really, they have to do it. You said the word perfectly, gently. They have to gently step there, you know? And so you're really, I would say, like what we said earlier, ask the kids. You really want to get a feel with the kids on where they are at in their grieving process and their adjustment phase. I mean, there's all different kinds of opportunities. And it could be little things. But also another thing that comes to mind is you want to, it's not always stuff that you're doing per se. Sometimes it's stuff you're observing. So you want to observe, like, for example, if the kids are getting moody, if the kids are having behavioral issues. So if the kids are not adjusting, if they're stressed, they're going to be moody. They're going to maybe have more behavioral disruptions. It could be as simple as, I hate your mashed potatoes. And, you know, Joy or whatever her mom, the mom's name is. They usually don't say stepmom, but they call her by name. You know, it could be Mary. I hate your mashed potatoes, Mary. I don't want to eat these. And Mary might be hurt, but what really might be happening is the kids really processing that grieving and thinking to themselves, I miss my mom's mashed potatoes. And sometimes it'll be in other behavioral disruptions. You know, maybe it's just, maybe the kid doesn't want to be tucked in at night. And it'll be stuff like that where the step, if you as a step parent observe that, then don't take it personally. Recognize that the kid is just grieving and missing. So if those are the type of things that you're observing as a step parent, then your first holiday, you kind of probably want to be in more in the background. And that's going to be hard for some step parents. But I want to really, I want them to embrace that and be okay with that. And think of the long term. Think it is not the long term. If I can say, I can't say that enough. You know, think about your relationship over the long term. Your relationship over the long term will manifest more solidly if you step back in those first couple holidays. Okay. Unless, of course, the kids have already adjusted. If the ex has already adjusted, the kids have already adjusted. Maybe the kids are really young. If they're 6, 7 years old, they might be already adjusted. It'll be really an easier one. Teenagers have a much harder time of it. Some teenagers just don't want to join any family gatherings. That's okay. Allow them that. Let them make their own decision. They'll eventually join. Make that okay. So I would say the biggest thing for step parents is to observe first. And it's more about observation than it is about doing.
Okay, now what do you do when the new spouse has children? Okay, so you have children. You're the old spouse. You have children. Now you have a new spouse. That person has children. And everybody wants to get along, but who comes first? How do you work out all these different traditions? Have you heard of people literally creating a summit of step parents and all saying, what should we do? Or, I mean, this has got to be insurmountable depending on the number of people involved.
Right. So, yeah, who comes first is usually the loudest wheel, unfortunately. That might not be the best answer, but that's the most practical answer. It's tough balance, but honestly, you really have to put everybody first. And I know that sounds like a hard ask because one person or one group of people is supposed to be first. But really, honestly, what I work at is trying to make everybody come first. And it really comes down to every single person has to adjust, pay attention to where they're at in the process and their own needs, and be in very good communication with their partners. But you really, there's no one way to do it. You definitely want to, it's because you're finding what the values are for everybody, you know? So it really comes down to asking people, and it really comes down to, you know, it might be several individual conversations that you have with every single family member just on a different day, you know? And as the parent and the co-parents, all of the responsibility falls on you, and it comes down to communication. It comes down to being creative. Sometimes you know, maybe a support group for those type of families would help. There are support groups out there. You can pass ideas on with other people and kind of brainstorm ideas. You know, maybe just sit down and write down, make a list of all the things that everybody wants to do. And I'm sorry, my battery is low.
Well, you sound fine. I don't know. Oh, I think the battery actually did cut off. Well, don't know if we're going to get Judy back or not, but we have accomplished a lot in this episode. It isn't easy, but it is possible to have unique holidays with blended families. Communication is paramount. We have to accept the fact that life doesn't stay static for everybody, for anybody actually. Life doesn't stay static. And although it's great to have the traditions, it's great to have, a pictorial trail of the holidays, you can always create new memories. You can always create new traditions. And so, I always, for me personally, say, all right, so maybe I don't like something this way. How can I make it better? How can I make it to my advantage? How can I create something new and different in my life with this change that's come into my life? So holidays are stressful, period. Whether we have co-parenting issues or not, they're stressful anyway. Mitigate the stress because it's not worth it. It's not worth it. It really isn't. The kids don't need the detail that parents think they need. Generally, they're happy when their parents are happy. And those really are my parting words for all of you. Now, there was one thing I wanted to go through with Judy that I would have gone through next if she hadn't cut out and gone on another planet here with our technology. And that is, she wanted to talk about tips for step-parents on ways they can bond with their stepchildren during the holidays. And I think this is really important. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to use that segment in my blog, which comes out on the website, theamicabledivorceexpert.com. I do the blog either Thursday or Friday. So the episodes always upload, as you know, on Wednesdays. And then I write the blog based on the episode Thursday or Friday. I have to take license. And I think that's what I'm going to have as part of the blog. Tips for step-parents on ways they can bond with their stepchildren during the holiday. Because these are very intimate personal times, and this is an unbelievable challenge. So with that, I'm going to conclude the episode. Thank Judy Graybill in absentia for being such a phenomenal guest on this topic. And of course, I want to thank all of you for joining. As always, I appreciate all of you. This is always to give you the most amicable approach possible to the divorce or post-divorce. You can always reach me through my podcast website, theamicabledivorceexpert.com. Please subscribe if you haven't. Share this with your soon-to-be-divorced friends and family. And as always, have an amicable day.
That's our show for today. Thank you for joining us. Be good to yourselves, be kind to your spouse, and cherish your children above all else.